open field, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio.
Oh, they got it! On the run, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and in association with Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Fights and pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
All right, we welcome you to Kent State University, where we are broadcasting live from the Rathskeller, the Quaker Steak and Lube, which is a tremendous location here right inside the Student Center at Kent State. And we are going to be here for the full hour. We are joined on this show, and you're going to hear from him momentarily, a former member of the Golden Flash. He was a standout player there. He is, of course, a standout safety for the Cleveland Browns with Sammy Young. You're going to hear from him in a little bit. But usually on Mondays, and we're going to stick to our Monday format, you will hear from the head coach, Pat Shermer. We visited with him back at Berea. He'll do his normal Monday spot, talk about yesterday's overtime loss, a heartbreaker, a real heartbreaker, to the Cowboys at Arlington, Texas. We'll have that. We'll also have the roundtable assembled. Doug Deacon, Jim Donovan from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, and yours truly, the four of us gathered in Berea before this trip down here to have our usual Monday roundtable assessment of yesterday's game. But we're going to get to it right now with a guy who, again, is very familiar to this campus, and he is someone who has been really an outstanding addition to the Browns and an effective guy yesterday. You had a sack in that game. We welcome Usama Young to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
There's a 24-hour rule, I'm told, in the NFL, and it is to win or lose. 24 hours is as long as you should take to get over. Where are you on the 24-hour rule with that heartbreaker yesterday?
I'm still torn, torn up a little bit. I've grieved a little. I've complained. I've got my issues off my chest, but yeah. I went over the film and vented a little bit. But it's just one of those things where we got to finish.
Yeah.
We
got to
finish, and that's been the gist of it throughout the year.
That's the mantra, and Coach Shermer talked about that. I know with the media today, we'll hear from him talk about it on the show. But something the coaches. He preaches, the coaches preach, obviously. You guys have been hearing this all season long. Usama, what, in your mind, you've been around this game long enough previously with the Saints before you came here, what will it take? What is it that's missing that the finish part, gets done? What's got to happen?
I got to say one thing. Playing with the Saints early on in my career, we had some rough patches.
Yeah.
We weren't always going 10-6 or 13-3 and playoff contending.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that we battled with was dealing with adversity. And once you have some adversity, it's human nature somewhat to sink your head, look down and not react to it positively.
Right.
But with this team now, we're young. That's been an excuse for way too long. This late in the year, you got to start bouncing back. And yesterday, everything was all good when we were up. But as soon as a few things went wrong, it started to snowball. We had some penalties, and you started to see that body language sink. And that's what we got to change. We got to deal with adversity a little better and be able to come around and mount up some positive things from that.
That's a great point. So you can sense that and feel that even on the sidelines and on the field. You're looking around, and you're seeing some people just saying, uh-oh.
Definitely. You get – It's football, so it's an ebb and flow to every game.
Right,
you're
going
to have
your
ups and downs. It's not too often that you straight up just dominate a game. And when we were out there, the fans, we're playing away. So you hear the Cowboys fans cheering and everything.
Right.
As soon as we do something well, it kind of dies down. And, on the sideline, we're cheering. But when something goes wrong on that field for us, we got to continue to, say, let's man up. Get together. We gotta all grab this chain and go along and go to work. But it was just one of those things yesterday. I wouldn't say I saw that as bad as it's been, but I saw glimpses of it.
Okay.
And we gotta come together as a team. That's the one thing I see.
And you mentioned young football team, 10 games into it, like you said, rookies aren't rookies anymore. They've played 10 NFL games. That's a substantial amount of games.
Right.
So that has to start kind of registering with people, and that's what I saw among some of the overall with the team, but some of the younger players, unevenness in the play, right? There was some strong stuff especially offensively early, a little dip down in the beginning of the second half, then it picked up again later in the game. Bottom line, though, is you were – it was overtime. I mean, you took a team that people still feel is going to contend and maybe win its division in the NFC East, and I know these moral victories, you don't want to hear that anymore.
Right, at all. Right,
this is done, yeah. And that was another thing Coach Shurmur was telling me earlier today, is that you talk about it, fine, get over it, don't dwell on it, don't complain about officiating, don't complain about all the things that a lot of fans and everybody else are talking about. Mm-hmm. You got to stay single-minded about what's coming up next, and that's Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. And, you know, I brought it up for a second. In New Orleans, when we did have some success there, we had those leaders that stepped up. And on this team, you see some leaders stepping up, and that's one of the positive lights that you see on it. From defense, offense, the younger guy, Whedon, he's stepping up, making plays at the end.
Yep.
You need your leaders to step up and make some big plays in the end. And that's what we're going to get to. I feel like we're close. You've heard it. You've heard it before. Browns fans have heard it. We're this close. But I'm a newcomer, and I see it. There's so much potential there. Yeah. Nobody can stop us. We're going to get it together.
All right, I like the attitude. All right, we are going to catch up with you, Usama, a little bit later in the show. And just to tell folks, Usama Young is here for this full hour. He can sign autographs for you, pose for pictures. We got color photographs of Usama in action, some Browns helmets, some dog pound face masks, the whole works. So come on over and get an autograph and say hello to Usama. That's what he is here for. And we're here. And coming up next will be the head coach of the Browns, Pat Shurmur. He'll be aboard with us with a segment we did back in Berea. That's next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we broadcast from Kent State University, the Student Center, the Rathskeller, Quaker Steak and Lube on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Brunch at the Hard Rock Cafe is back all season long before every Browns home game. Join me, Greg Brenda, Chris Fedor, and Munch as we broadcast live from 8 to 10 a.m. The Munch Brunch kicks off at 8 o'clock with eggs, bacon, sausage, biscuits, and made-to-order waffle station. Then at 10 a.m., the Game On Brunch takes over with made-to-order omelets, all-you-can-eat carving station, chicken assorted desserts, visiting team specialties, and so much more. Take the free Buckeye Vodka Shuttle to and from the game and $10 valet parking. Brunch at the Hard Rock before every Browns home game.
John can't wait. His new F-150 will be here in 30 minutes.
His new what?
F-150. Liberty Ford is delivering it to the house.
Delivering? Are you two just made of money?
No, we were busy later, so they're bringing it to us, paperwork and all. And with the deal we got, I'd say Liberty just made it really convenient.
Ugh, that's just too easy.
No, that's just Liberty Ford.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
for your cooler and charcoal budget, for depositing $100 from Section 100, for being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere, and Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Hey, Browns fans, your favorite Cleveland Browns are going green, and you can too. Intercept your waste. Recycle your cardboard, paper, plastic, cans, and glass at home, at work, and on game days. Remember to compost food scraps and yard clippings too. Make it a habit. Reduce, reuse, recycle, and compost. Visit CuyahogaSWD.org to learn more. Powered by the Ohio Department of Natural Resources and the Cuyahoga County Solid Waste District.
The following was inspired by an actual conversation.
Hello, Arby's.
Hi, who sliced your meat today?
Doug. Why?
Is Doug a robot?
No, Doug's not a robot.
Is non-robot Doug freshly slicing roast beef for the Arby's French dip and Swiss sandwich, and then adding melted Swiss and a cup of steaming au jus?
Yeah, actually he is.
Good. I will take human Doug over a machine any day.
Get two Arby's French dip sandwiches for just $5 at participating restaurants for a limited time. Arby's, slicing up freshness.
This is it, the holiday season where you commit to being the coolest gift giver. giver in town with a gift from Danny Bays that will bring smiles to your whole family.
The happy family is the most important thing.
That's exactly why we at Danny Bays offer the best selection of entertainment gift needs, including Brunswick pool tables, shuffleboard, ping pong, air hockey, theater seats, bar stools, foosball, and so much more.
Tell them about this week, too.
Okay, here's the best news. It's not too late to be the best gift giver of your family. We at Danny Bays will guarantee delivery of any in-stock item you buy this week for delivery before the holidays. Wow, and it gets better. We will also offer you a special holiday gift with any purchase made before Sunday. And when I say holiday gift, I am talking business. You could even get a free air hockey or a ping pong table. So you pick the fun and let Danny Bays deliver just in the nick of time for the holidays. We'll see you this week at Cleveland, Fairlawn, Mayfield Heights, Westlake at Crocker Park, or check out DannyBays.com. That's Danny, BEGHS.com.
Whedon's in the shotgun. First and 10 with 1:11 to go. He's got to get them into the end zone. He's back. He's throwing. End zone. Touchdown! Benjamin Watson!
He's gone to him twice in the end zone, and twice they've scored.
1:07 left to go. And the Browns were given a second opportunity by the Cowboys, and they take the lead with 1:07 left.
All right, that was the call from Jim Donovan from yesterday's game at Cowboys Stadium, where the Browns suffered, unfortunately, a 23-20 overtime loss to the Dallas Cowboys. That was the second of two touchdown catches by Ben Watson. That was the one that gave the Browns a short-lived lead, but it did give them a lead toward the end, and then eventually, well, you know how it turned out. They were up 20-17. The Cowboys come back to tie it, and then at the end of regulation, and then win it in overtime. We are broadcasting from Kent State University from the Student Center, the Rathskeller, at the Quaker Steak and Lube restaurant. Beautiful location here. All kinds of folks coming up to get Usama Young's autograph. He's here, the safety and member of the Golden Flashes back in the day. He's, of course, the safety now for the Browns. And we are also, speaking of the Golden Flashes and the outstanding team that is, let's hear it for that, for this football team on a 9-game winning streak. That's a program record. Their head coach is going to join us, Daryl Hazel, a little bit later in the show. So you're going to hear from the head coach, because a lot of great things going on with this football team, which is going to be playing for the MAC championship on November 30th. But we'll get into that in a little bit. Now, let's also tell you this. Browns Fans Unite, the all-new Browns Fan 4-Pack, is on sale now. Starting at just $199, you get four tickets to the Browns' home matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs on December 9th or the Washington Redskins on December 16th. Plus, your four Browns tickets include four hot dogs, four Pepsis, four game programs, and a parking pass. That's over $50 in savings. To purchase your Browns Fan 4-Pack, call Ticketmaster 1-800-745-3000 or visit ClevelandBrowns.com today. And he's with us each Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Pat Shermer, the head coach of the Browns. Love to be talking with you under different circumstances, but we know what the circumstances are, Coach. Does an overtime loss feel any worse, I guess, than any other loss? I mean, it just seemed to yesterday.
No, the disappointment of losing is there regardless of how it happens. And I've said it all along, it's tough when you lose, because you want the players to be able to feel that thrill of victory. And we got a bunch of guys in our locker room that won a lot of games in their lives, a bunch of coaches that have done the same, and we just got to find the right combination of things to find a way to win and finish some of these games.
And again, this sounds like a broken record too, but players remain engaged with this process. They seem more disappointment would be one word, but I also saw a sense of like frustration, anger in there to the extent that guys want this to be different. They want to be finishers. They want to do this right. And I think that connection, right, to your message about finishing is still there.
Yeah, disappointed, angry, upset. That's the emotions that come out. You don't become frustrated. You become, you're disappointed and you're angry. And those are what appears after you've just put a week's worth of work and 60 minutes of play out on the field. And the challenge is here's where the mental toughness comes in, is when you're trying to build something and you're trying to do it with a bunch of young players, you're trying to do it for whatever reason, any group of guys doing it together, there are some tough days. And then when you get over the hump and you finally do it and you get some confidence and then you keep going, that's where you're at. And so the mental toughness comes in by getting a good night's sleep and coming back and getting ready to play the next opponent, which happens to be Pittsburgh.
And I know that you don't want to take these outside opinions to mean much of anything, but most of what I heard nationally from Dallas, from other places, was, you know, how well the Browns competed and so forth, and how much this team fights and young players look like they get better. All these things, I know you have to stay in the moment of it and really can't take a lot of solace from that, but does it say something to you when you're evaluating from a game like this? And I know 2-8 overrides everything, but when you evaluate and talk with your staff and then look at your players and make your judgments, how are you feeling about what you have, and how do you separate that from the record and tie into some of that positive vibe that's out there?
Well, what you said last there is what rings true. We're 2-8. Now, that's the reality of it. But we have 6 games left. That's the reality of it. And we have a game here on Sunday against Pittsburgh, which we all know what that means. And so you get right back in the moment, and you do everything you can to make this week's preparation as good as it can be so that we go out and win.
Missing Joe Hayden was a problem, to say the least. And the Cowboys obviously exploited that 50 pass attempts by Tony Romo. But was there any other way to go about it other than next man up, buster screen, and just play your coverages as you play your coverages?
Well, we made some adjustments coverage-wise, but you know, any position where you get an injury, the next guy goes in, and we got down to Johnson Batamosi playing, and he gave us some good snaps. And for a guy that was an undrafted rookie to come in, and he's played all year well on special teams, and then to be able to go in there and play scrimmage snaps, the guy's got a chance to be a player in this league. And, you know, so he'll learn from that experience. And as the year goes on, if he has to play more, he'll even play better.
You had talked about Joe Wright wanting to get in there, and you pushed it right up until almost kickoff, right, as far as you could to get him in there. What ultimately told you, A, he couldn't play, and B, how do you see his status unfolding this week for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, we were going to file an extension to give him more time, you know.
Because later kickoff?
He made every effort to play, yeah, you know, and he was dealing with that oblique strain, you know, all week, and we kind of gave him as much time as we could. We brought him to the stadium, got him going, got him cranked up, tried to get him ready to play, and unfortunately, right till the end, you know, it just wasn't happening. And so Joe was as disappointed as anyone to not be out there. And so unfortunately, that happens sometimes, and so you move on and get your next guy ready to go.
Pat Shurmur, the head coach of the Browns, making his weekly visit here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Another big story about this game was your defensive line play. And having Ataba Rubin back and paired with Phil Taylor for the first time this season, we anticipated a sea change for your defensive line. And it was, and I thought there was, for the most part, pretty good dominance of that Cowboys offensive line, the pressure that was generated from the outside, but it all started from within.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, I talked all week that if you have any chance to have success on defense, you had to get pressure on Tony Romo. And so, you know, I think, you know, we had 7 sacks and we disrupted him a bunch. And, you know, he did make a couple plays running around outside the pocket, which he does all the time. But, you know, I think that pressure on Tony helped keep the score down, you know. And I think it, you know, it's important. You know, there's a correlation to getting pressure on the quarterback and playing winning football. And so, you know, we're getting healthier. That's one position, I think, at this point in the year where we're getting healthier. You know, when you get Rubin back and Taylor back, and not to mention the great snaps that our young guys got.
Yeah.
You know, I think ideally if a coach had it his way, he'd have 8 guys, you know, 4 ends and 4 tackles that you can roll in there consistently. And, you know, when you play a 4-man front, and then not have any drop-off. And so when you get your 2 starters back that weren't playing for most of the year, of course that helps.
And the other people, your perimeter people, did quite well. And I know there's a cause and effect there, but I thought Jabal Sheard had another strong game. Certainly Jaquay Parker, Frosty Rucker did some things. But just seeing that outside group, you had to be pleased by them, with them too.
Yeah, they made some plays. And, you know, I think, you know, Dallas has had some injuries in their front. And our guys did a good job of exploiting some of that. And, you know, their synergy, if you find a way to get good push in the middle, it helps the edge pressure. And if you get edge pressure, push in the middle helps. You know, so it all works hand in hand. And the more really good players you put on the field, the better chance you have.
Brandon Whedon, two touchdown passes. An efficient day, at least to the extent that he didn't throw an interception. He did lose a fumble. But overall, a good first half, kind of dipped down a little bit in that early part of the second half, and then came back around again. Just his day, and how did you feel it compared to his where he had struggled in his previous outing against Baltimore?
Yeah, I think it was a much better performance than obviously against Baltimore. You know, we moved the ball down the field. He helped engineer a 13-0 lead, and. You know, it was touch and go there for a little bit, and then, you know, we had the sack fumble, and then after the sack fumble, we came back and went 5-for-5 on a little stretch there. So, you know, he's very resilient, and he helped lead us to the one, and, you know, we didn't complete, of course, the fade ball to Jordan Cameron, but then right away came back after we stopped him and threw a nice ball to Ben Watson, which put us ahead. So, you know, he fought through it, and, there's plenty of things he can do better, but I think he made progress from his last outing against the Ravens.
And your offensive line helped his cause, I think, tremendously by really blocking well and keeping. I mean, they've got those great pass rushers, and I know he was sacked a couple of times, but generally had a clean pocket.
Yeah, he was only, you know, hit a handful of times, including the two sacks, which is pretty good against. That's a pretty dynamic front in terms of being able to generate pass rush. And so I would say our guys battled up front. They take great pride in making sure Brandon doesn't get hit. Unfortunately, it happens some. It just does. But our guys, I think, up front have done a good job of working together. And that happens when guys play games, as many games like they have. Really, the only change has been when we put Greco in for Pinkston.
And, Coach, it looked like they were also doing an effective job of opening holes for the run. It looked like there was room for Trent Richardson to run. He gets 95 yards, averages 3.4 carry. Nothing to sneeze at. I just thought, just me, I thought he could have had a bigger day. He came to some of those spots, some of those holes, I don't know, just a little tentative, and I'm wondering, and this is what triggered in my mind, rib injury, that's not something that goes away very quickly. I know he's got to deal with that, and it just, I just thought I saw hesitation. Maybe you didn't, but that's what I saw.
Yeah, I thought Trent, generally speaking, was effective. You know, he ran the ball for close to 100. We threw him the ball, and he had production catching the football. And, you know, only he could tell you whether he's 100% or not.
He probably wouldn't.
But I would say, you know, he's battling like all guys do this time of year. Nobody's, you know, it's very rare that you find a guy that says, hey, I feel 100%. And so that's part of it. And I expect that he'll get his body right, his mind right, and come back and play well against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, speaking of the Steelers, got to prepare for that team. And I would think it's going to be an interesting challenge. We're working right now. I'm working with the idea that Ben Roethlisberger probably not going to be back from his injuries. Byron Leftwich was injured last night as well in their game against Baltimore. So I know that would leave perhaps Charlie Batch as the starting quarterback. But as you look at their team and as you prepare this week, how do you sort of see that as you're preparing for the Steelers, and how are you going to handle their uncertain quarterback situation?
Well, as we get ready to play the Steelers, you know, it's a style of football. It's a physical style. And you saw in the game last night against the Ravens, it was a game for big guys. You know, they were hammering it up in there, and the score was close, which is typical of typical of games in our division. And so I think what's important is that we get our team ready to play the Steelers. They're effective, and their guys play hard for whoever's playing quarterback. Of course, they battle hard for Roethlisberger. I know they had a great respect, of course, for Leftwich, and you know, nothing says he's still not going to be the quarterback. And then Charlie Batch has played good football for him. So regardless of who plays quarterback, it's the Steelers are, you know, we're well aware of what the of who the opponent is, and I think there's just, even though the games all count one, there's a natural excitement for this one.
No doubt. Coach, thank you very much.
All right.
He is Pat Shurmur, the head coach of the Browns, joining us as he always does on Mondays here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
I'm such a bargain shopper.
More shoes?
Actually, I found the deal of my dreams online at LibertyFord.com.
You can't believe everything you read on the Internet.
You can at Liberty Ford. Paid the online price, got a Carfax and repair history, plus they gave me more for my trade than I had researched online.
We'll see what happens when you get there.
But it happened yesterday, just like they said it would.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion.
Visit Quaker Steak and Lube in Valley View, Sheffield, Lakewood, or Vermilion to make your reservations for the Thanksgiving buffet. Enjoy all of your holiday favorites on Thursday, November 22nd from 11:30 to 5 p.m., including chef-carved turkey, ham, roast beef, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and much more. And from noon to 9 p.m. from November 19th through the 21st, buy one gift card and get the second half off.
Nothing stays cold longer than a Polar Pop fountain drink from Circle K. The Polar Pop cups are made of polar foam. It keeps your fountain drink cold longer than any other cup on the planet. Best of all, you can get any size cup for the same low price. It's 69 cents. So pour yourself a Polar Pop. Any size cup, just 69 cents every day.
Pour yourself a Polar Pop.
Only at Circle K.
71 degrees, please.
73 degrees, please.
When it comes to keeping your home warm this winter, what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with a new Rheem heating system that'll keep you warm, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits.
72 degrees and I'm in heaven.
Get professional service on all brands of equipment. Call Brian and Sons Heating and Air Conditioning, your local Rheem top contractor, at 440-585-9232 today.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. If you're in the market for a solitaire, engagement ring, anniversary, or investment diamond, then shop around, get the best price, and then dial a diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Empire will advise you on size, shapes, and values. They'll sell you diamonds directly from the source without a middleman's markup. These diamonds are guaranteed to be priced at half the retail price. A diamond certification by the Gemological Institute of America will be faxed or mailed to you. For qualified buyers, your diamond will be sent to your home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection. Upon your satisfaction, you then pay for your purchase and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. Empire Diamond, located in the Empire State Building for over half a century, guarantees the lowest priced diamonds, 10-day free inspection, and money-back guarantee. Save over half on your diamonds. Call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Visit us at dialadiamond.com.
Will Burge here for the all-new Mentor Nissan. Right now, they're introducing the $500 low-price guarantee exclusively at Mentor Nissan. We have a new attitude and a new way to buy a car. Bottom line, we pay you $500 if we can't beat any competitor's price. Guaranteed every day, no exceptions. Call 888-GO-NISSAN. That's 888-GO-NISSAN for full details, or visit MentorNissan.com. The deals are always better at Mentor Nissan.
It's months for Buckeye Vodka, the spirit of Ohio. Buckeye Vodka is made in small batches in the Buckeye State, and just like a Buckeye, does not back down from any competition. I encourage a taste test straight up against your favorite brand. Simply put, Buckeye Vodka is less expensive than other brands, and it's better. Clean and smooth, and the results will surprise you. Save money and get a better vodka. What could be better than that? If you try it, Buckeye Vodka will be your brand of choice. Ask for Buckeye Vodka by name. Buckeye Vodka. I'm a Buckeye. Are you?
Out they come with Cooper near side, wide left, inside of him, Gordon. Wide to the right. The Browns put out Richardson and Greg Little. Whedon in the shotgun by himself. Third down and goal. In the pocket. Throws middle. Great catch by Ben Watson. Touchdown. What a grab by the veteran tight end. Right down the middle at the post. He went up and bear held that ball down.
All right, Jim Donovan with the call from yesterday's overtime loss at Dallas, the Browns. We are broadcasting Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, from the Student Center at Kent State University, the Rathskeller, the Quaker Steak and Lube, and we have with us Usama Young, safety, of course, for the Browns, and a former Golden Flashes player who is here signing autographs, posing for pictures. Lots of students on hand to come over and other folks to get his autograph and pose for pictures, and he's been very gracious about that. We are very pleased in 1 second to tell you a little bit more about the Kent State football team, but first we want to tell you about something very important, the food drive. The Browns fans, don't forget to support the annual Cleveland Browns Food Drive prior to the Steelers game on Sunday, November 25th at Cleveland Browns Stadium. Cleveland Food Bank volunteers will be located at gate entrances of the stadium to collect donations that day starting at 11 a.m. Fans attending the game are encouraged, it's this Sunday again, to donate non-perishable items such as canned soups, canned vegetables, peanut butter, tuna fish before they enter the stadium. Monetary donations will also be accepted. For more info on how you can help, visit clevelandfoodbank.org. Now joining us is the head coach of the Kent State Golden Flashes, one Daryl Hazel. Coach, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on. How about these Kent State fans?
I love it. We've got a pretty full house here at the Quaker Steak Lube, Quaker Steak and Lube, which is in the Rathskeller in the Student Center at Kent State University, and a lot to celebrate with your program. 10-1, you're the MAC East champions. You are ranked 23rd in the Associated Press and BCS polls. There's a litany of stuff here, and I love this one, and so proud of you on this. You're one of 16 semifinalists, Coach, for the Maxwell Club Coach of the Year honor. That's got to be special.
Well, I didn't know that until just right then.
All right.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's
excellent.
Nice honor.
Yeah.
And I know
you're about the team,
yes,
and so forth, so I know I don't want to get you going against your grain on that, but it's recognition, Coach. This is a program that hasn't had success in a while. Since 2003, this is the first MAC East team to go 8-0, and really for the longest time, I guess it goes back to the 70s, I was asking Usama, who's a proud alum here, about that. So the program's turned around quite a bit.
Well, it's taken a lot of people to get it going in the right direction, and we have tremendous support here with our administration, from the president on down, our athletic director and the associate athletic director, and you know, our staff has done a phenomenal job of getting us all going in the right direction, and the players have bought in 100%. They're very mature. They stayed humble through this process, and we've been able to make some significant strides.
And I misspoke. I just want to make sure. You're playing your final home game Friday. Right, that's the season finale.
Yep.
Against Ohio, and that is the semi. That is the. If you win that one, it would give you a perfect record in the East.
In the MAC.
I'm projecting. I'm sorry, but why not? I'm here. I'm gonna. And November 30th, Ford Field in Detroit, Northern Illinois. They're the West champs of the MAC. That'll be the MAC championship game. How do you keep the team focused on the finale when, you know, they obviously are thinking about that championship game too?
Well, this is a big game for us this week. This is our last time for our seniors, who's really got this program going, to step on the Dick Stadium on Friday 11.
Right.
And we're really dedicating this week to the seniors. And they'll be very emotional. But they'll also be very charged to play their best football on Friday.
Do you feel a sense of energy around the campus when people are, you know, something good is going on with a sports program? There's nothing like that to bond a campus. Do you feel that?
I tell you what, the buzz around the community, the campus community, the downtown has been absolutely phenomenal, and we are really feeding off of that.
Well, Usama, I know you've been a very big part of this program since leaving the program, but going on to the NFL. But you come back, you've spoken to the team. You're very invested in this group here.
Oh yeah, I gotta be. Just being close by, playing right around the corner, and seeing a great guy come in, take over the team, lead them in the right direction, along with the great supporting cast. Man, they're doing it right, and I gotta support it, man. I gotta come around as much as possible.
No, that is tremendous. And Coach, with regard to how this season has come together, just give us a sense of capsule sense of some of the areas where you've excelled and some of the things that you see that have carried you, but also things that I know you're a head coach, so you're always going to work on. Nothing's perfect, so you got to work on things. But what so far has made you the happiest, and where do you see the most work needed?
Well, I think we've made significant strides in our special teams, and I think each unit's feeding off of that. The offense is feeding off it. The defense is feeding off of it. We've had 15 return yards on punts this year, maybe in 11 games. So that's pretty phenomenal. But you know, I think we're playing very well as a team right now. The defense has been spectacularly getting the offense the ball back. We're number one in the country in turnover margin. The offense has done a relatively good job of taking care of it. And those are the things that, in those tight ball games, that help you win football games.
Well, Coach, we thank you so much for not only being part of the show, but for everyone here hosting us. This has been a great experience so far. We wish you nothing but the best going forward, and good luck with everything.
Thanks so much for having me on. You got a good one here now. He's an outstanding Brown and an outstanding Golden Flash.
We're going to continue that conversation. Daryl Hazel, the head coach of the Golden Flash, is here at Kent State, part of us. And again, that team is heading for bigger and better things. 10-1 in the MAC East. As MAC East champs, and 23rd in nationally. I love that, in the AP and BCS polls. How proud, and Coach Osama's talking with the coach right now, but I want to, when we come back to you, Osama, what does it mean to you, though, to see this success and locker room pride? Because you guys all talk about your alma maters in there, and you all kind of trash talk a little each other on Saturdays. How's that working out?
I'm glad you brought that up, because guys talk trash all the time. And, you know, we got a range of players from different schools.
Right.
But now that I got them in here, I got to say I haven't got any of my Kent gear yet to rock in the locker room.
A little hint.
So I gotta yes, mess with
you
that.
Gotta leave with some Kent gear.
But it's major, because you know how much work that they put in.
Sure.
Not just the players, but
right.
The staff as well. And you see them. You see them put in all that work on the field, grinding it out, injuries, playing through it all, and to see them have success now. It's big, because I just talked to some of my old teammates, and you know, we're amazed at how successful they are just right now. But coach knows they still got work to do and want to finish it strong.
You told me off air the most wins you had at Kent were 5.
Yes.
In the season. All right. So this is a little bit of an upgrade.
And it hurt. It hurt, because remember my last year. My last year is senior. It wasn't senior night, but it was an away game.
Right.
And we didn't finish it right. And I look back at it, and I'm mad that we didn't go out right. So I know that it's important to the guys playing now, that they want to go out right. It might be the last bit of football they get to play, so it's major.
All right, so we got to talk about yesterday, playing the Cowboys, and we touched upon it at the top of the show. As a part of the secondary, and it seemed like you were going into this game certainly with a big hole there with Joe Hayden's absence with the oblique injury. I know he was pushing it right until kickoff, trying to get out there and play, but he just couldn't go, so he was scratched from the lineup. And it obviously put a lot of pressure on the secondary. The Cowboys went after it. 50 pass attempts for Tony Romo. 300-plus yards, that was damaging. But more so were 7 pass interference penalties, and all leading to first downs on the secondary. That had to be a hard thing to go through.
Oh, yeah, it's tough. And to hear the news of Joe's injury on Friday, you know, that hurts a lot. And we weren't sure if he was going to be able to play.
Right.
And up until the kickoff, we didn't know. And then once we knew, we were just like, hey, the next guy up has to play at a high level. That's the game of football. But out there, I feel like guys battled. They fought it out. You know, we had some younger players in there. Johnson Batamosi, he got his first reps in at corner, and he was in there in overtime making plays. He made some good tackles.
After Buster Screen left with a concussion.
Yeah, exactly. Buster Screen, he played throughout the whole game. He had some tough calls on him. Mm. A lot of them were questionable.
Okay.
You know, as a player, I'm always going to side with my guy.
With your guys, right.
But when you look at the lopsidedness of it, you do kind of see it, and you're like, come on, man, we got to get some of those calls back on hold. But anyway, as a team, you got to fight through it. You can't blame
officiating
at all. And Buster played a heck of a game. He was out there fighting throughout it. And you know, guys play through injury all the time. And Johnson came in, and he played at a high level as well.
Next man up.
Yeah.
as we look at the rest of this performance defensively, what a special thing it was to have a Taba Rubin back in there and paired with Phil Taylor. I thought the line as a whole did a tremendous job and helped open things up. You were part of a sack on a blitz, 7 sacks of Tony Romo. I mean, you really were owning it up front.
Yeah, up front, I felt like, you know, having Rubin back, that was great. Mm-hmm. Having Phil back at full speed, ahead, full strength, that was great. And you look at their yards rushing, they didn't run the ball that well. We
63 yards, something like that, yeah.
We stuffed it, and I felt like those guys did well. In the back end, of course, we had some penalties that of course, we wish we could have back, and they made some plays. You know, when you're sure. playing against elite athletes, they're going to make some plays, but you got to bounce back from it.
All right, bounce back. Pittsburgh Steelers, the rivalry game, the game that people say if the Browns win can make the rest of an 8-loss season so far seem like, you know, you were 10-0 at this point. People will take a Pittsburgh win all the time, and they should. Obviously, you know what it means. Having played in this region, you know what it means to people to beat the Steelers. They come in with some issues of their own. They come in with missing their starting quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger, who's hurt, their number 2 quarterback in Byron Leftwich, who got hurt last night, apparently not going to play. And the word now that NFL.com was reporting, or NFL Network was reporting, Charlie Batch, the veteran, would get the start against the Browns. How do you look at the challenge of facing the Steelers?
Well, I kind of go into games, and I try to think of nameless, faceless people. But when it's all said and done, you know a guy like Ben Roethlisberger is missed. Mm-hmm. And when he's not out there, it's a different team. But at the same time, you know that they got the same mindset as us.
True.
The next guy up has to play at a high level. And I played against Charlie Batch a little bit last year when Ben went down.
Right.
And he's able to run that offense. He's been in it for a while.
Yeah.
He's thrown the ball successfully in this league, and he's a savvy vet. So we got to prepare for them the same way we would as if Ben was in there. He might not keep the play going for as long as Ben with his feet, but he can throw the ball.
And they're going to come in here with your guy, James Harrison, right? Another golden flash. I mean, you know, bringing his presence to the table, and that defense is something to look at, because that was a key last night. It gave them an opportunity last night, although they fell short, but you got to look at that as being another factor.
Absolutely.
Even though you're going to be on the sideline when they're playing, but you know they mean business.
Right. I've been on punt team having to block James on rushes, so I know that he's a big boy and he brings a load. So he's one of those guys you got to account for. Me being on the defensive side of the ball, yeah, I don't have to deal with them too much. I got to look at those pieces they got at wide receiver. First off, Mike Wallace, he's always going to take the top off. And then Brown, he can do it too.
Tony Brown,
able. And then they got the savvy vet at tight end in Miller.
He's going to, yep.
And they got guys all across the board in a solid backfield. We're not sure if Mendenhall is going to be in, or Dwyer, he's a big guy. They got weapons all across the board, and we're going to have to bring out a game.
I was feeling pretty good when we started talking about Ben Roethlisberger not being in there. Now I'm not so good, feeling good anymore. You started rattling off the reasons why you got to play this thing at the highest level.
Absolutely, absolutely. They're an elite team in this league, and they've been an elite team for a while. They got guys that can hurt you all across the board, but I mean, I take pride in our defense, and we're going to have to take the ball away. We're going to have to be physical. We know it's going to be one of those smash-mouth games.
Sure.
It always is.
North battles.
Yeah, it always is. So I'm excited. I like playing the Steelers. I've played them a couple times now, and I'm kind of sad to say I did used to like their defense growing up. But nah, they're real, man.
All right. Usama, thank you so much for being here. And you're going to be here, by the way, for the rest of the time to the top of this hour. Come on in, get an autograph. You know, we're here at the Kent State Student Center, the Rathskeller, Quaker Steak and Lube, Vic Carucci with you. The show is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Coming up, the roundtable portion of our show on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stop the car! Your oil change light just turned on.
Oh, don't worry. I have an appointment at Liberty Ford tomorrow.
You don't need to buy a new car. You just need to get your oil changed.
I am. In fact, they will change the oil, rotate my tires, check the brakes, belts, batteries, and filter, all for just $39.99.
What, no car wash?
Well, that too. You get nothing but the best service at Liberty Ford.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Take time, great food, get too quick and take a move.
Visit Quaker Steak and Lube in Valley View, Sheffield, Lakewood, or Vermilion to make your reservations for the Thanksgiving buffet. Enjoy all of your holiday favorites on Thursday, November 22nd from 11:30 to 5 p.m., including chef-carved turkey, ham, roast beef, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and much more. And from noon to 9 p.m. from November 19th through the 21st, buy one gift card and get the second half off.
In the world of B2B commerce, a lot can happen between that first B and the second. That's why First Merit Merchant Services is ready for anything. With a full range of support services from fraud monitoring to chargeback mitigation, your business can easily grow and change and grow some more. And if you sign up now, we'll waive your setup fee too. For more information, call 877-507-9007. First Merit Bank. You first. Member FDIC.
The oil change business has got to change. They advertise one price and charge another. Shop charges, the filter, oil disposal fees. It's time for a change. So NTB introduces Ready to Roll, our $24.99 Valvoline oil change with all the extras at no extra charge. You get up to 6 quarts of conventional motor oil, a filter, and free disposal. Plus, we'll rotate your tires, reset your air pressure sensors, check your battery, brakes, belts, and hoses, and even top off your fluids. All free. With our $24.99 Valvoline oil change, you're ready to roll. Just add taxes. No gotchas. Wow, 6 quarts of Valvoline oil, a filter, and disposal? Plus, we'll rotate your tires, reset your air pressure sensors, check your battery, brakes, belts, and hoses, and even top off your fluids. NTB is giving you $25 in extra services. It's like getting the $24.99 Valvoline oil change free. Drive in or schedule service at ntb.com. State mandated fees may apply.
This Thanksgiving and Black Friday, unwrap huge savings from Sprint. Save $150 on an unlimited edition Samsung Galaxy S3, the ultimate way to connect, capture, and share, now for only $49.99. Visit your Sprint store on Black Friday or beat the rush Thursday and Friday at Sprint.com.
Coverage and offer not everywhere or on all plans. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, activation, and early termination fees. Excludes taxes. Network use rules and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Robertson leaves, Hag comes in. Dallas is 1-for-5 on third down from the Browns' 41-yard line. Dwayne Harris and Austin near side to the left. Bryan out wide to the right. Two backs, Witten and Dunbar in the backfield with Romo. Romo back, he got hit and knocked down. And Shears got him back at the 49-yard line.
All right, the call from yesterday's game, the overtime loss against the Cowboys. We are broadcasting from the Kent State University Student Center, the Rathskeller, the Quaker Steak and Lube restaurant here. Usama Young is with me from the Browns, still signing autographs till the top of the hour. Help a child and save on a haircut tomorrow. Purchase a Believe in Miracles bracelet at participating Great Clips Salons and receive a coupon for $2 off your next haircut. All proceeds benefit the Cleveland Clinic Children's Hospital. Great Clips, it's going to be great. It's the roundtable portion of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and I am joined by Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, Doug Deacon, his partner in the radio booth, and Tom Withers of the Associated Press. Jim, we'll start with this. An overtime loss, I know, doesn't really differentiate itself from any other of the 7 losses of the season. It gives them 8 on the year, and that's that. But this is a game where, for whatever reason, you come out of it, I guess, feeling, is it fair to say you feel a little better about where the Browns are in their progress?
Well,
I know it sounds odd.
Yeah, well, I've been kind of out and about today, you know, doing things and meeting people and seeing people. And I think people line up in 2 camps on this Monday. I think there was a camp that said the Browns had no chance going into this game and feared them getting blown out with Dallas beating Philadelphia the week before and seemingly on a little bit of a run. And I think people feel the way you just felt. Hey, they stayed in it and it's overtime. Then there's a camp of people that just say, wow, this just keeps happening. And even at 13-0, I could feel that it might happen and I could feel it slipping away.
Yeah,
so whatever camp you're in, I think that, you know, there's plenty to choose from.
I didn't think there were enough points at 13-0, but go ahead, Doug.
Well, no, unlike Jim, I'm not a greeter at Walmart, so I don't get a chance to meet all these people.
But he's got to work part-time somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely, right.
But I think, you know, the thing is, as a player, you sit there and you go back and you see that game and you say, this play, one thing here, one thing there, and you just second-guess yourself for, you know, the entire 70 plays that they had. Mm-hmm. What could I have done that, you know, made a difference? And it's a tough pill to swallow when you lose a close game, especially an overtime game.
Jimmy was out trying to get people to talk about Notre Dame football today, I think. I'm not sure he was concentrating on the Browns.
I thought he was just going to pick up a couple extra bucks before the holidays.
Well, let me just say, I was everywhere. So, yeah.
You know, Vic, this is unfortunately what we've talked about too much this year.
Yeah.
Just can't finish the job. And I'm with you at 13-0. Jimmy said it too. At 13-0, I'm thinking, you know what? They need at least another three or maybe another touchdown to kind of take the pressure off a little bit, because you felt like when it started to slip away, it was going to go quickly.
What's your sense? You're in that locker room today, and what was your sense, though, of 24 hours later, what the mood of this team is? Because that's what everybody monitors. You've seen some teams fall off cliffs already in this similar record situation. I don't even know if I see the edge of the cliff with regard to attitude, staying engaged, caring.
Well, unfortunately, it was Deacon Withers and Donovan in the locker room.
And
Dimitri Patterson, who is going to give it a shot in the next couple of days and may be able to come back and help this secondary.
It was kind of a scarce
locker room. Yeah, it was very scarce today. But I think, you know, in talking to Pat Shurmur, and when I did ask Patterson about that, you know, what is the mood like? You know, let's remember, Vic, this is a very young, still hungry team. You know, guys that, you know, want to make a good name for themselves in this league. So I think this team is going to continue to fight. But I have to imagine that a lot of them are sitting around saying, you know, when is this going to stop? When are we going to get over the top?
What do we need to do?
You know, I would think it would be a little different. I think it is different here than I would gauge it is in Philadelphia today.
Right on.
After the way they've played now. And, you know, they've lost a bunch in a row. And how that team was set up.
And they're losing lopsided games,
too. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I would just hope for these guys, and even going back yesterday in that locker room, is that, you know, that there is some payoff for them in the way of some wins coming up here.
We knew going into this game, if you take Joe Haden out of the equation, you're creating a hole that really couldn't be filled. I mean, I don't know that anybody at this table or anyone else watching this team closely would say, yeah, but they'll figure this out. No, that played right into the strength, Doug, of what this Cowboy team does. And sure as heck, Tony Romo throws 50 passes. He completes enough of them for 300 plus yards, but more importantly, they draw 7 pass interference penalties.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got 10 first downs on penalties yesterday. And that's the difference, I think, in a lot of ways in the game. We were about 11 shy of what they had. We had 2 by penalties, and, you know, the river officiating was lame. It was bad. And but with that said, I think, you know, the thing is, you got to make plays. And Romo started cold, then he got hot. You know, Whedon started hot, and then he got cold. And, you know, it's just a matter of consistency. And when you get hot, you know, you hear about teams, you know, when you get to the end of the season, it's the team that gets hot at the end of the season. It's, you know, you got to watch out for. That's the team that gets hot at the end of the game is when you got to watch out for.
But, you know, this whole, who is it on then, Vic, to make a team finish? You know, I don't know. Is it on? It's on the playmakers. I would imagine it's got to be on those guys that you've identified as, you know, whether it's your quarterback or your star running back or whatever the case may be. Those are the guys that have to make the plays down the stretch, and this team just hasn't been able to get that so far.
And you raise a great point about that, because, and I know earlier in the day in the news conference you were asking Coach Shurmur about this too. From a coaching standpoint, what level of responsibility is there about finishing? And beyond keep repeating the message, which he's done. We know he's done. We know he does it in an open forum where you can hear it and see it with players. But in behind the closed doors in the meetings, you know the assistant coaches. You know everybody in this building. I think I walk around saying, finish something.
With
a T-shirt. That's right. Finish. So the mantra is there. So I don't know how much more from that standpoint can be done, but is it internal, I guess?
I don't know. Doug, you probably played on some teams that had this problem at some point, right? How do you get over the top?
Well, you guys probably in that one magical year probably thought that even when you were losing, we're not going to lose. We're going to win. You think you're going to win.
I mean, we'd be down by 2 touchdowns. He'd go off the field at halftime. He'd say, we got them right where we want them. You know, but, you know, that's a part of the attitude. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, once you start doing it, then they come in bunches. I think once you start winning, the calls seem to go your way.
Yeah.
I really thought yesterday, too, Vic, sorry to interrupt.
No.
I thought that period between the start of the second half and early fourth quarter, it's really seemed to kind of get away from Brandon Weeden, I thought. You know, they weren't able to get kind of string those drives together as they had earlier, and I really felt the game changed.
And I'll give the Cowboys maybe some credit on that, too. I think they did some changes.
Well, I felt it slip when they recovered the onside kick, and they did nothing with the ball at that point. And I know we looked at each other and went, uh-oh. You know, I mean, they had that. I mean,
that
James Michael
fired royally on the
Cowboys. Because you need to make them pay for taking a big gamble.
Yeah.
And you,
saying your offense isn't going to hurt us.
Yeah, and I mean, I thought then that Dallas got a big puff of air in their sail, and I thought the Browns then got a little bit.
And I don't remember if they tried to take a big shot there, but that's what I kept thinking when they got the ball then.
What happened was they ran the ball twice and they threw it once for 6 yards. And, yeah, that was one where, you know, you knew you needed to add on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. It's the Roundtable. Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, and Tom Withers, and yours truly, Vic Carucci, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We knew, as much as we knew, the defense would be hurt by Joe Hayden's absence. We knew it would get a big boost by Ataba Rubin's return in the first pairing of the season of Rubin and Phil Taylor, and it didn't disappoint. The D-line played by far not just its best game, I think, of 2012, Jim, but I think maybe its best game in several years.
Well, that, on a couple of ways, too. I mean, anything over a three-step drop for Tony Romo yesterday was a problem. I mean, they were on him. So, I mean, that's what made it so very, very effective when he got into that short passing game for them, because anything beyond that, he really got hit or he got sacked or he made an errant throw. The other thing was that their running game was nothing. Now, I know their running game is not what it's, you know, used to be, but still, I mean, I thought the Browns took that away. So it really went against what you normally want to do. You want to make a team one-dimensional, and the Browns made them one-dimensional yesterday, but they were able to wiggle out of it because of the secondary problems.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into the three-step drops, because, you know, the younger guys weren't up there to jam. Although Bartomosi, when he came in, he just got in the guy's face and gave him a lot of credit.
Yeah,
I thought they were giving way too much cushion at times on the corners, but I can understand, you know, wanting to do that with young guys in there. But to your point about the defensive line, it wasn't just those two guys in the middle. I mean, and anybody that questions now John Hughes being selected by this team, that kid's played his butt off, I thought, all year long.
He has. He's been very consistent. And they put, you know, Billy Winn out wide some time, and seemed like he was finding a comfort zone there as well. Talking about the other line, the Browns' offensive line, and how that performed. So we talk about Brandon Weeden having that up-and-down day. What he really had, though, consistently all day was good protection. He had a good pocket. He was sacked twice, but generally it was a clean pocket for him.
Yeah, I mean, there was the one time where Ware got by Joe Thomas, and that was about the only thing.
Looked offside.
You know, as he did. Yeah, I thought they looked off a couple of times. Here's the thing, I think, that offensive line has played very, very well. But, you know, we've been talking about Weeden and we've been talking about Richardson, you know, weekly, and we should. But Mitchell Schwartz is really playing well. And the fact that we're not talking about Mitchell Schwartz is probably the biggest indicator that that kid is really coming along at right tackle.
Yeah, he's played well. I mean, you know, I think what was Weeden said, he's the smartest guy, he's, you know, offensive lineman he's ever been around. And, well, of course, he didn't play with me. So that's no, actually, Robert Jackson was our guy. He was unbelievable. But, they played well. I think, you know, the thing is, we get down to the short yardage, though, and we still have trouble.
Yeah. Okay, so now this brings me to this, because I was waiting for this. Watching Trent Richardson play, 95 yards, 3.4 per carry, solid numbers for a guy who, you know, previous two games, 100-plus, but more importantly, solid for a guy who has rib issues. I'm wondering if those ribs hurt to the point where I saw him get to the hole sometimes and not explode.
No.
I thought he danced a little bit.
I'm with you.
A little tentative.
Especially, I thought on the third and one, I think he missed the hole there. I'm not sure. He tried to jump over the top from like
the
2 yard line. He missed the hole. And, you know, I also thought on a couple of those swing passes, he got out in space and he kind of stutter-stepped himself
into
trouble.
Well, he does that, and I like to call it it's the old Fred Flintstone yabba-dabba-doo-step, you know, when Fred would be getting off of work and he'd get the buggy going. And that's what he's doing, you're right.
Well, it reminds you of Hillis, when Hillis used to jump people.
Right.
people have seen him on tape now. They know that move. And there was a, there was one time yesterday he went to do that out in space, and the guy didn't buy it and just smoked him.
Yeah. But, you know, Vic, you may be right. I mean, as the game goes on, those things, those ribs might get sore.
Knowing him and the competitor that he is, he's probably not going to say a word about it, but it's just something you observe.
And I really thought, you know, Hardesty, change of pace came in, and I thought hit the hole hard, and I thought we were going to see more of him, and they showed a shot of Richardson on the sideline who seemed to be a little bit gassed at the time, I was a little disappointed not to see Montero back 20, out there.
23 yards on four carries, that's a 5.8 average, so he was effective.
The medication doesn't usually last you the entire game.
I heard about that.
Then it gets to a point that, you know, you got to do it again at halftime. It gets tough.
Well, we'll talk about this at the end of the week, but Pittsburgh is coming up, and speaking of medication and injuries, I mean, they've got some banged up people at that quarterback spot, but we'll hit that later on. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Jim Donovan from...
I've got to run out and get a sympathy card for the Steelers. Excuse me.
I'm sure you will. Jim Donovan and Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. Tom Withers from the Associated Press. It's the Roundtable, and we will have much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don can't wait. His new F-150 will be here in 30 minutes.
His new what?
F-150. Liberty Ford is delivering it to the house.
Delivering? Are you two just made of money?
No, we were busy later, so they're bringing it to us, paperwork and all. And with the deal we got, I'd say Liberty just made it really convenient.
Ugh, that's just too easy.
No, that's just Liberty Ford.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion.
The following was inspired by an actual conversation.
Hello, Arby's.
Hi, who sliced your meat today?
Doug. Why?
Is Doug a robot?
No, Doug's not a robot.
Is non-robot Doug freshly slicing roast beef for the Arby's French dip and Swiss sandwich, and then adding melted Swiss and a cup of steaming au jus?
yeah, actually he is.
Good. I will take human Doug over a machine any day.
Get two Arby's French dip sandwiches for just $5 at participating restaurants for a limited time. Arby's, slicing up freshness.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like mobile deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And virtual wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use mobile deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Will Burge here for the all-new Mentor Nissan. Right now, they're introducing the $500 low-price guarantee exclusively at Mentor Nissan. We have a new attitude and a new way to buy a car. Bottom line, we pay you $500 if we can't beat any competitor's price. Guaranteed every day, no exceptions. Call 888-GO-NISSAN. That's 888-GO-NISSAN for full details, or visit MentorNissan.com. The deals are always better at Mentor Nissan.
It's Monday, and that means a cheeseburger and fries is just $5.99 at Champs. Add wings, and it's just $9.99. Three locations, Westlake, Lyndhurst, and Valley View. The best seat outside the stadium, Champs.
It's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. A good coach teaches sportsmanship, sets positive examples, and stands by players, not just for their athletic skills, but their academic ones as well. Liberty Ford would like to recognize these coaches and call one of them Coach of the Year. Go to LibertyFord.com or like Liberty Ford on Facebook to vote for the finalist you think has what it takes to be Coach of the Year. They could bring home $5,000 for their school.
Imagine your baby growing, progressing, and becoming more independent. Then imagine her suddenly being robbed of her ability to talk, walk, or use her hands. Imagine having to live your life as if your feet are tied together, your hands are tied behind your back, and your mouth taped shut. Imagine the symptoms of autism, cerebral palsy, Parkinson's, epilepsy, and anxiety all wrapped up in one little girl. This is Rett Syndrome. Learn more and find out how you can help at clarescrusade.org. Claire's Crusade, breaking the silence of Rett Syndrome.
Listen up. Do you need cash? 650 Gold has it for your sports memorabilia or any gold. Broken jewelry, broken chains. If it's gold, they'll pay for it. Bonus cash, too, for every time you mention ESPN Cleveland selling your sports memorabilia. 11 locations in Northeast Ohio. Folks, get the 650 Gold. The holidays are coming. You need cash? Go to 650gold.com for more details or call 216-650-GOLD. 650 Gold.
All right, real quick, we want to tell you that we've enjoyed our time here at Kent State University, the Student Center, the Rathskeller, Quaker Steak and Lube. Osama Young was here for the full time, and guess what? He got his Kent State gear, his Golden Flashes gear. He said he's gonna rock that in the locker room beginning tomorrow, right, Osama? Okay, let his teammates know his pride for Kent State. We want to thank Pat Shermer and Jim Donovan. Want to thank Doug Deacon and Tom Withers. Want to certainly thank Osama Young. We want to thank our on-site producer, Tim Nada, Emmett Goldenbeck of the studio, Coach Daryl Hazel of Kent State. Thank him. Matt Wilson, Brittany Castle. And we will talk to you again tomorrow night on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.